This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
There are worrying signs of a failure to appreciate not only the rights of believers to freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, but also the legitimate role of religion in the public square.
That discharges the soldier with the real problem, the homophobic soldier that has the real negative effect on unit cohesion.
I want to urge the U.S. Senate to oppose this policy for what it is. It's a radical social experiment.
The God of American civil religion is not the triune God of Jesus Christ. He is Zeus at best, or Baal at worst.
Indiana truck drivers love issues, etc.
Okay, we heard you. Recently we had asked whether or not you wanted sermon reviews returned to Issues, etc. We never really omitted them, but the lack of time and a press of other guests and topics, sermon reviews had kind of fallen along the wayside here on Issues, etc. We asked you if you wanted them back, and you said resoundingly, yes. So today, and we'll try to do this every Wednesday, weather and Craig Feitinger permitting, we'd like to do every Wednesday a sermon review, good, bad, ugly, all in between, as we usually do here on Issues, etc. Today we're going to be reviewing a sermon preached Sunday by Ed Young Jr. He's a pastor of a large church, Fellowship Church, in Dallas-Fort Worth. He has a big church there. He has several satellites, and then there's a satellite of that church also in Miami, Florida. The sermon series is titled Lust Vegas. About 2 years ago, Ed Young Jr., if you'll remember, did, 30 Days of Sex? A sex experiment, he called it. Well, he's reprising that sermon series now with his wife, Lisa, I believe. Bed on the stage, the whole nine yards, velvet rope, and he's reduced it to 7 days of sex, a seven-day sex experiment for his congregations across the nation. We'll be reviewing that sermon here in the first hour of Issues, etc. Greetings. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 29th. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943. These sermon reviews are not only my job, but you can also chime in as well with your thoughts and comments on the sermon that we're reviewing this hour. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We'll get it in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. And you can also visit our Facebook fan page. If you visited our Facebook fan page, you already know what we're going to be talking about in the second hour of the program. St. Michael and All Angels, Dr. Charles Geeshan of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest for the entire second hour talking about St. Michael and All Angels. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Now, our sermon reviews follow a simple diagnostic. It is three parts. The first part, simple. The second part, it gets a little more complicated as it goes on, and I'll explain it. But first, this is what the diagnostic is intended to tell you. Whether you're listening to Ed Young Jr., as we will here in just a moment, or your pastor, or any preacher, any sermon, any Sunday, is this sermon about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, or is it about someone else or something else? Now, you say, why is that an important question? I have an answer for that. Because the Bible sets a standard for Christian preaching. In fact, Christ himself sets a standard for Christian preaching when he commands and promises his disciples that in his name, repentance and the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all creation. What does he expect his church, his preachers, his pastors to preach? Repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. He provides no other outline for Christian preaching. The example is set by Christ himself and his apostles when they begin to preach. It all ends up at the cross and what Jesus has done for us. Jesus says this is how we ought to read the Bible. Search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. All of the prophets did this and the apostles. John the Baptist probably being the best example. His sermons are all about the one who would come after him, the one who is greater than him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. St. Paul knows that the only outline he's been given to preach, period, is Christ and him crucified. He says it more than once to the Corinthians, to the Galatians, and everywhere else. So when you listen to a preacher who claims to be Christian, you ought to be listening for Jesus. That's the first part of the diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple tally of how often you hear Jesus mentioned. Now, we're not talking about generic references to God. We're talking about specific references to Jesus by one or other of his names. Jesus Christ, Christ, our Savior, all of those things all count. Keep a simple tally. If Jesus is mentioned, you can go on to part two or part two of the diagnostic. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? In other words, is Jesus what the sentence is about? Is he what the sentence is about? Is he the one who is doing the doing and running the verbs in the sentences of this preaching? There's a difference between saying Jesus died for you, where Jesus is the subject of the verbs, or you live for Jesus, where you are the subject of the verbs. This latter would be an example of a sermon that's about you rather than Jesus, even though Jesus gets mentioned. So that's the second part of the diagnostic. If Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then you have to ask one more question. What are those verbs? Because nowadays, Jesus is preached as the subject of a lot of verbs that the Bible doesn't spend a lot of time talking about. You hear a lot about Jesus, the example. You hear about Jesus, the friend, Jesus the helper, Jesus the inspiration, Jesus the motivator, Jesus the one who affirms you right where you are. Not a lot of that from the Bible. What you get in the Bible is Jesus as the subject of other verbs like living, suffering, dying, laying down his life. All of those verbs are applied to Jesus in Scripture. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? You might do one other thing when you're done, and that is step back and ask yourself the question, what problem did the preacher diagnose? And I think you ought to really apply this one to the sermon we're about to hear. What problem has the preacher diagnosed in you, and what remedy did he provide for you to that problem? Is your problem, what, not enough intimacy in your marriage? Therefore, solution, as we'll hear Ed Young and his wife Lisa tell us, solution, more sex. Or is your problem sin, for which, well, more sex won't really help you there, will it? You kind of need Jesus on that one. Now, I do want to caution those who are listening, either live or on demand, that if you have others listening along, especially of tender age, you don't want your kids asking a bunch of uncomfortable questions, you might want to flip it off or you might want to listen at another time. That's why we so love our on-demand listeners, because some of the things that Ed Young Jr. and his wife are going to talk about will be not explicit, but will could raise some explicit questions. It is, after all, a sermon about having more sex. So let's get into the sermon. This is Pastor Ed Young and his wife at their church, Fellowship Church in Dallas, Fort Worth, the sermon series, Lust Vegas.
All right. How are you guys doing? Please be seated. I'm Ed, and this is Lisa, and welcome to Fellowship Church. If you're one of the ones at one of our many, many campuses, we welcome you down in Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano, Miami, here in beautiful Grapevine. It's great to have you here. Today, we are talking about sex. And we have embarked on this sex experiment over the last 7 days. We've challenged couples at Fellowship Church, married couples, to have sex for 7 days. And, of course, we haven't, like, commanded it, but we suggested it, yes. Lisa. So I thought today we would talk about that. And talk about 7 things that should happen and have happened when we have sex over a week's time.
That's great, because there is such a depth to understanding how God created sex and has placed it at the center and a huge part of marriages. And so I believe that marriages will be strengthened, they will be deepened, the intimacy level on all fronts, whether it's physical, emotional, the relationship between husband and wife will just be incredible because of this experiment.
And you know, it's not that we don't think about sex. We all think about sex, but I don't think that we think deeply enough about it. Because whenever you connect God with sex or sex with God, people freak. It's interesting, just to really, they get all interested, and some people don't understand it. And I think it's been really amazing, Lisa, to see the responses from people, how many have maybe done the pushback at first, but now they're warmly receiving this and welcoming this, and it's causing a lot of people to think. It's also causing a lot of believers to do it in marriage, because I don't think we're having enough sex in marriage.
A recent poll says, well, you gave statistics last week about the poll that said, 78% of fathers did not feel that they were sexually fulfilled. They were not having sex enough. And I saw a recent poll that said that couples who consider their marriages to be above average, put 81% of them, they have a very active sex life.
Okay, now, I want you to remember something. This isn't just a one-time sermon. A lot of times when people hear something like this, they'll say, oh, come on, you know, every once in a while, a pastor might want to deviate from the game plan and talk about a special subject. This is a sermon series he's been preaching. He did 2 years ago, 30 days of sex, a sex experiment, as he calls it. The problem he's diagnosed, to kind of go to part, 3B of the diagnostic, or part 4, he said it. Christians aren't having enough sex. So there's a real obvious solution to that. It's hard for me to figure out how they're going to stretch, 32 minutes of a sermon out of that solution. But we'll find out on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our sermon review live this Wednesday, September the 29th. How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support. Equipping the Priesthood of All Believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology Today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing a sermon preached this Sunday by Ed Young Jr. His wife is included too, Lisa. She probably is going to do as much of this sermon as he is. Now, you need to picture this. If you didn't catch it before when I mentioned it, you need to picture kind of typical big stage, big auditorium church, lights on the stage, audience sitting politely, and laughing at all the appropriate innuendo, by the way, too. And on the stage is a bed, a fully made bed, big king-size four-poster bed, and a red velvet rope kind of blocking off the bed. And Ed is eventually, in the course of this sermon, kind of sitting on one side of the bed, and his wife is kind of sitting at the foot of the bed and preaching a sermon about having more sex. This is a big problem, according to Ed Young Jr., one of the biggest, apparently big enough to spend an entire series of sermons on it, that Christians aren't having enough sex. And the solution, as I said before the break, really simple. Just have more sex. And they're going to spend, if you will listen, they're going to spend the better part of their time and our time here as we review it, going into that solution. Again, if you have kids listening, you might want to listen at another time. We are on demand, of course. I would say one more thing before we go on, and that is, it's not just Ed Young Jr. I think when he did his last sermon series on having more sex, a lot of congregations across the nation decided it was a good idea to do so too, and they imitated him with their own kind of sermon series on sex. Ed does it as only Ed can do it. And a lot of pastors think that Ed Young, or this kind of preaching, this kind of relevance, as they call it, is what we need to be imitating, is what the church needs to be emulating, this kind of preaching.
So it definitely is a barometer reading, a temperature gauge on how the marriage is going. And I like to talk about the romance or the connectivity with communication. Those are the things that just, you know, to me say so much about how the marriage is going. But the reality of it is the depth of sex, the part that we just forget how deeply God thinks of it, what a huge part it plays in our marriage. And so now I'm coming to understand that that is really the temperature gauge.
It is, because what happens inside the bedroom affects what happens outside the bedroom, and also what happens outside the bedroom affects what happens inside the bedroom. So during this 7 days of sex, a lot of us have had a lot of sex. For some, maybe it's not been that much.
Tell by those who are smiling.
Yeah, there are a lot of happy people here at Fellowship Church.
But on that note, too, Ed, we also know that there have been a lot of issues dealt with this week. And we know that there's been some pain.
Exactly.
Hopefully there's been some forgiveness. But if anything could come out of this, because there's not like, there's not an award for the 7-day challenge. You know, nobody's out here trying to get an award. But there is a reward of what God can do in your marriage. And if there has been some conflict and some difficult times, our prayer is that you've sought help, you know, whether it's going to a Christian counselor or talking to a confidant, someone who can give you great biblical understanding. Maybe you're going to revisit some of the teachings of this series just to have that understanding of what God wants sex to be like in your marriage.
And almost every married couple we've talked to in years and years and years of teaching about marriage and sex and speaking at different conferences, almost every couple has said, you know what, I wish we had more sex. And that's why we have these stanchions up here, because these stanchions represent at least some bedroom barriers that a lot of couples face. Like, for example, kids. Mm-hmm. And then this next one is the career thing. So many of us have dual incomes, and we're going here, going there, and this career thing is tough to balance. Then on top of that, the commitments.
And then my favorite is fatigue.
Okay, they're laying out some of when he says stanchions, they have some poles with the red velvet rope like you see at the movie theater when you're standing in line to buy tickets. Yeah, or outside of a posh club in Los Angeles, they have the red velvet rope that keeps people from coming in. He says those are meant to, and they're in front of the bed that they have sitting on the stage. Those are meant to represent the barriers to more sex. And remember, they're not just talking about the quality of sex. They're talking about the quantity of sex. Now, part of all the sex series that you hear preachers nowadays just for some reason obsessing about are motivated by, I think, kind of a caricature of Christianity and of Christians that I just don't think bears up under the light of scrutiny. And that is that somehow we're prudish and we don't believe in sex, or we've made sex negative, and somehow God is so positive on sex and we need to relearn that God wants us to do it and do it God's way, which is actually Ed Young's term. That's his way of talking about it. Listen carefully here. I mean, while you're listening for the mention of Jesus' name, none so far, why? Jesus didn't have much to say about sex. He did talk about husbands and wives. He talks about the two becoming one flesh. He didn't spend a lot of time talking about how the Israelites of his day weren't having enough sex. Or how his disciples, the married ones, of course, because he wouldn't have advocated extramarital sex. He didn't spend a lot of time chiding Peter or the other married disciples for not having enough sex. Who knows? Maybe Peter and the other married disciples were right where Ed Young thinks Christians ought to be. When the mother of John and James come to Jesus and says, I want you to do something for me. I want your sons to sit on my right and on my left. Jesus didn't say, I like your question. I appreciate it. I'll get to it in a second. But first, mother of James and John, how's Zebedee in the bedroom? You don't hear a lot about sex from Jesus, so you know, it stands to reason he's not going to get mentioned much in a sermon. A sermon that can stand on its own without Jesus crucified for sinners is not a Christian sermon. If a sermon makes perfect sense without Jesus dead on a cross, it isn't a Christian sermon. It may be great advice or bad advice, but it isn't a Christian sermon. I want you to listen for something here. Sex as a sacrament. They've already talked about sex connection to forgiveness and about how it can improve things. God can do something through your greater amount of sex. And it sounds to me, maybe I'm emphasizing it, who knows, sounds to me like sex is almost a sacrament if you do it enough. If you do it enough.
Sometimes all this stuff, you're just like, I'm so tired,
And
tired.
These are real barriers, real bedroom barriers. And I think the couples here have overcome a lot of these barriers because you have made good on this experiment. And I have to confess this. I hate to confess this, especially in front of the guys, because, of course, I am male. Yesterday, I had a very, very exhausting day. I was up at 4 a.m., meetings, and I spoke and did a lot of stuff. When I got home, kids were acting crazy. We're trying to pack to leave for a trip. I said, you know what? I'm going to go back to our bedroom and just lie down and close my eyes. Take a little quick nap, because Lisa and I hadn't done it yet. So that's when I said a little nap. So I went back there, closed the door, and all of a sudden I was asleep. I'm talking about, I was dead to the world.
Okay, well, I have a confession too.
Okay.
Because for the first time ever, I went into the bedroom like, wake up! You can't go to sleep! I would never have done that if we weren't in the middle of the challenge.
And here's what I said. I've never said this in my entire life. I said, honey, I'm too tired. Let's just double up tomorrow. You know? So I hate to confess that, guys.
But don't tell anything else.
I won't say anything else.
Something tells me he is going to say something else. I mean, what would you do if your pastor got up with his wife, let's say minus the bed and the velvet rope and all those kinds of things, and started talking about whether or not he and his wife had done it the day before? I don't think anybody believes that married pastors are celibate. This is Ed Young telling his congregation, saying he's kind of ashamed to admit it in front of the guys that he fell asleep right in the middle of his sex challenge and skipped a day. Because it was supposed to be 7 days of sex, by the way. I wonder what's happening in the audience there, watching him in Dallas-Fort Worth and watching him down in Miami where they have a satellite. I wonder what's happening to those couples who are watching it who may have only done it three times that week. Oh, golly. Ed Young skipped one. Maybe it's okay. You know, other people have kids and hectic lives as well. And I wonder what they're thinking. Or someone who took up the sex challenge and then maybe got into an argument like normal married couples do and wasn't able to fulfill the obligation. And they're worried now that their marriage might fall apart because they haven't had enough sex in the last 7 days. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 29th of September. I want your reaction to Pastor Ed Young Jr.'s 7-day sex challenge and the sermon that we're reviewing during this hour of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send your email talkback@issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. You might be listening now either live or on demand. You say to yourself, oh, Wilkin, he's probably said the word sex 100 times in the last 20 minutes. That's right, because that's what this sermon is about. That's what this sermon is about. If you were keeping track of how often the word sex was mentioned here, you'd have a long, long tally list. How often Jesus is mentioned? Zero so far. We'll be right back. Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Being pregnant with two babies isn't unusual. It is, however, if they're not twins and the two babies are due a week apart. Before you think I get my information from the National Enquirer, listen to this. Angie Gromar in Utah was born with a rare condition. She has two uteruses. It's not been an issue with her first two pregnancies, but this time she conceived in both uteruses. An ultrasound discovered she's carrying two babies at slightly different stages of development. Angie, a labor and delivery nurse, has the experience to go with the flow, but both she and her doctor were surprised. The chances for this happening are less than 1 in 5 million. So he said she's a member of a small elite club. I believe just being a mother puts her in the elite category.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
During this 7 days of sex, yeah, a lot of us have had a lot of sex. For some, maybe it's not been that much.
Tell by those who are smiling.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of happy people here at Fellowship Church.
Doing a little sermon review on this Wednesday afternoon, as you have asked, September the 29th. Restarting sermon reviews regularly every week with an Ed Young Jr. sermon preached this Sunday as part of his 7 Days of Sex series that he has for his Fellowship Church down in Dallas-Fort Worth. It has several other locations in that area and also in Miami, Florida. And this isn't the first time that Ed Young has done a series on sex. He did 30 Days of Sex 2 years ago, and now it's down to a week of sex. And when we pick up again, he's just admitted that he and his wife did not, because they were so tired and overscheduled, his wife and himself, they were not able to go all 7 days. They just went 6 days, and And they've admitted that the sex challenge, well, I mean, who knows? Does that hurt their marriage? I'm not sure. I do think this, only in America, only in suburban America where we have very little else to worry about in our lives. In fact, not only in suburban America, only among people who are healthy, not worrying about anything else, would we obsess like this on the subject of sex for an entire week as part of a sermon series. Would this work in the third world country? Would they be preaching this in a third world country? Have more sex. Your marriage needs more sex. Or I often wonder when I see the people in the audience here, they don't show much of them. What about someone who's lost their husband? What about the singles? None of this applies to someone who isn't married. The children, of course, aren't even in church. They're off in children's church where they're learning about who knows what's important there. Playing more baseball? I don't know. Who knows what they consider relevant to children? It's hard to tell. Or someone whose husband or wife has just been diagnosed with cancer and they're being told that the reason they're having such a hard time in their marriage is because they're not having enough sex. There's something about good preaching that applies to every Christian everywhere. I know that this goes completely against the grain of how the church is supposed to contextualize everything and make everything relevant to the culture. But there's something about good preaching that a sermon that could be preached 1,000 years ago could be preached today, that could be preached to poor people, could be preached to rich people, could be preached to people living in well-heeled America and people living in the third world. If your sermon only applies to that immediate group of people sitting in front of you at that time and that place and their particular felt needs, and wouldn't hold water anyplace else, there's something wrong with that. Michael in Utah sends us an email. He says, wasn't it Monty Python's movie The Meaning of Life that had a skit which portrayed actor John Cleese as a teacher giving his class a sex education lesson? As I recall, he brought in his wife as his assistant, had a bed already in class, and then proceeded to give his students a live demonstration of the sex act, describing in detail how it was to be done. He went so far as to stop, scold a student for not paying attention, and then continued. The class could not have been less interested. Some were doodling in their desks. Others were yawning repeatedly. Is it possible Ed Young borrowed this idea from the movie? Exactly how far will Mr. Young take his sermon series? Is this congregation taking him seriously at this point? It's possible his audience will react the same way. Mike, thanks for listening in Utah. Well, it's possible. The amazing thing is, not only does his audience appear to be taking him seriously, there are a lot of pastors and congregations out there who take this very seriously too. They say, Pastor, we should be doing this too. I often wonder, would it work if Ed Young weren't kind of this big, strapping, semi-handsome, all-American boy, and his wife, a beautiful woman? What if Ed were, who knows, 55, paunchy, never was that good-looking, and his wife the same? Would you take sexperiment advice from such a pastor and his wife? Pat emails us, if a pastor began to talk about his sex life from the pulpit, I would immediately walk out. Appropriate discussions of marital sex may possibly be held in the classroom, but not from the pulpit. Pat, thank you very much for your comments as well. Stephen, who listens in London, England, says, I can't believe what I am hearing. Even if we had an even less telling test than yours, like how often the Bible is mentioned, we'd still be on zero. I thought at first, well, even if it can't count as a sermon, perhaps it has some interesting advice from the Bible, but it's not even that. I'm just wondering what is the point of all this apart from enjoying the attention of a lot of their people? One does wonder, and thanks for listening in London, Stephen. By the way, those of you who say, it's not intended to be a sermon, this is their sermon. They say this is their sermon. This isn't someone teaching. This isn't someone saying we got some classroom time. This is what he preached not only at his church in Dallas-Fort Worth, but at its satellites nearby and in Miami, Florida, this last Sunday. This is a sermon review.
Whoa. Whew.
Okay.
But we should not be shy.
Let's talk about scripture or something else.
But you know what? We are talking about scripture because we should not be shy to talk about what God was not shy to write about. My challenge and my hope to all of you would be, hey, keep on doing what you've done this week. In other words, you made it through these stanchions, these barriers. Obviously, you negotiated around them, and look what happened. Mm-hmm. So that shows you, it shows Lisa and I, that we can do it more, because I think
it's all about priorities.
Yeah, it's about priorities. And I think a great take-home in this, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, stop depriving one another. In other words, start fulfilling one another's sexual desires. I believe the take-home is we should try to double up the amount of intimacy that we have in marriage.
Oh, by the way, this is a great example. He did quote the Bible there. He didn't misquote it, although one wonders whether he is applying it accurately. Here's a great example of when you believe that there is no central teaching to the Bible, when you believe that there is no golden thread running through the Bible, that is the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, or you may believe it, but you don't preach the Bible that way, when essentially the message of the cross is just one among several teachings in the Bible, important, all kind of equally important, then you got no problem with doing a sermon series on sex. Or quoting a Bible passage like stop depriving one another as though that is a major teaching in the Bible and a major factor in Christians' lives. Now, if you believe, if Ed Young believes, I think he might even believe this. He certainly doesn't practice it. But if he believes that the central message of the Bible is Christ's perfect life, death, and resurrection for sinners like you and me, one wonders why and how he can get sidetracked, so terribly sidetracked, when he preaches. Helen in Austin, Texas says, what if Ed Young looked like Grandpa? Would Grandpa have discussed this, even with the boys only? Well, we can say this, Helen. He doesn't look like Grandpa.
So I want to go through real quick seven things. And I touched on four of these last time. Seven things that happened, Lisa, in this experiment. And I think these will be cool things. So I'm going to sit down on the bed. You can stand if you want to.
I'll stand.
And talk about these things. Now, the first thing that happens when we make love in marriage is we fulfill God's purpose for our marriage. And that's a huge thing to remember, that we're fulfilling God's agenda that he has for a man and a woman.
The second thing that we do is intimacy reveals our true self. That's one thing that I've found throughout this week, that intimacy tells me, when I look at Ed, I see my best and my worst, and he sees his best and his worst. So it's revealed my true self. And yeah. I have to come to terms with that in the sexual relation.
And that's why we talk about marriage being a mirror, and we've written a book about this whole thing, because when you do look at your spouse, you see reflected back your best and your worst. That's why so many marriages don't have intimacy, and so many marriages end up in the deep weeds, because people don't like what they see reflected back. So they go from relationship, they sleep from bed to bed, and when it becomes too close or too intimate, they're out of there. And too many people too, Lisa, I think, can play hide and seek in the bedroom.
But I think this week it's like, okay, game's over.
Yeah.
Because we've all had to do, those who are participating in this challenge, is to really take a close look at the issues in our own life and get those things right and out in the open so that we can move past the issues and get on to intimacy.
All right, and intimacy is one of their big themes. And I think the Bible portrays a beautiful picture of intimacy between husband and wife, and it includes the element of the one flesh union. It certainly includes that, but it does not focus exclusively on the element of the one flesh union. In fact, it talks far more about love, self-sacrifice, obedience, mutual submission when it paints a picture of marital intimacy as a thumbnail of a much greater picture, Christ and the church. You know, it was just this last weekend that my daughter and her husband had a consecration of their wedding ceremony. And what kind of advice would I be giving them if I said, you know, the real key to a good marriage is lots of sex? I've lived 23 years with my wife, and I can say honestly that the real key is the one that the Bible presents. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wives, love your husbands. We'll be right back. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest, people who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc., our sermon review on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Still just a couple days before we announce the winners of two $50 gift certificates to Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce them for the listener who invited the most friends to become a fan of Issues Etc. at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And the other $50 gift certificate goes to the listener who had the best invitation sent to their friends to become a fan of Issues Etc. at Facebook. When you invite your friends, send a copy of your invitation and the number of friends that you invited to contest@issuesetc.org. contest@issuesetc.org. We will announce the winners of those two $50 gift certificates this Friday on the air. Marjorie in Lake Stevens, Washington emails us. She says, so far this sermon is nearest to a bad comedy routine. Can you say adultery at the altar? Kind of makes me think of the pagan fertility, never mind the modern-day contraception, cults identified in the Old Testament. Just goes to show that sins are timeless and now demeaning for the husband or wife whose spouse is being unfaithful. That's a great question there. What about the husband or wife who's being unfaithful in this sermon series as they preach about having more sex? If this were a comedy act, I've had walked out by now. And I'm really close to turning off Issues Etc. now and coming back for the next hour. This topic on the altar, that is revolting. Well, we said good, bad, and ugly. Margie. Thanks for listening in Washington. I guess Margie's going to classify this particular sermon as the ugly. So look, can I blame someone who's listening to this? Says, I'm going to listen to a sermon review. How ugly it can get. How Christless and crossless it can be. And people walk into these churches and they listen to this and then they walk out and they say, wow, that was a fine Christian sermon. Never even noticing that Jesus was entirely absent and that, moreover, his cross went unmentioned. Or if it is mentioned, it's mentioned as the footnote to good advice on having more sex. To put this in scriptural terms, it is missing the forest for the trees.
When I say hide and seek in the bedroom, I'm not talking about something crazy. I'm talking about we hide from sex. We hide from making love to our spouse because when we make love, we have got to reveal everything. Nakedness assumes what? Intimacy. It assumes vulnerability. In marriage, we're economically naked. We're spiritually naked. We're physically naked. So if we stay away from the bedroom, then we'll never, ever, ever have the intimacy being into me, seeing into me like the spouse should.
The third thing that we find through the 7-day sex challenge is that it thwarts sexual temptation. And I truly believe this is such a huge thing for us to understand, is that if we can have great, fulfilling sex in marriage, then we're helping put like an alarm system around our family, an alarm system around our relationship, so that these outside forces, pornography, lust, an extramarital affair, can be thwarted. It can and help diffuse that.
And I don't think neither the husband nor the wife realizes the role that they play in the lust quotient, because a desire is from God, and the way we steward our desires determines our destiny, and our destiny determines our desires. So all desires are God-driven. When we do them and do it God's way, we're going to go to a whole nother level. If we don't, we're going to meet a whole new devil when we are led around and when we bite the lure of lust, because the devil does not practice catch and release.
No.
No, he doesn't.
The fourth one is so great, because all of us talk about how can we leave a legacy? How can we make a difference for the next generation? And I am confident that, believe it or not, great sex in marriage is a huge part of building a legacy in our children. I think that, in fact, I know that Ed and I and our relationship, because so goes the intimacy sexually, so goes evidence of our forgiveness for one another, so goes our communication skills, so goes all those different things. And our children see that modeled out. Now, they don't see the sacredness of our bedroom, but they know that we have that intimacy because it's reflected in all these different areas. And so when they go to get married, when they go to select a spouse, they're going to be thinking so deeply about that relationship and what it means and what it stands for. And then also have a benchmark by which the romance, the creativity, the love, and the spiritual leadership that they should be looking for.
Are you hearing this? I mean, if this were only advice, just kind of good advice for what? Sexual intimacy in marriage, but there's more to it than this. And again, I might be wrong, but I am hearing sex as sacrament. I am hearing sex as a means of grace, as a way that God somehow produces in you things like forgiveness and a better communication and a means of sanctification. I'm hearing sex as a sacrament. Classically, the church has defined sacraments as physical means by which God delivers the forgiveness of sins, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the means by which God produces in Christians the fruit of the Spirit. And I hear the sacraments here, not consciously, but unconsciously, being replaced with sex and lots of it. That having more and better sex will produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's what I hear being said here. and that sex as sacrament. You know, I don't know if it's good advice or bad advice in terms of sexual therapy or whatever you want to call it, but when we start talking about God working forgiveness through sex, producing the fruit of the Spirit through sex, and lots of it, we have strayed completely off of the biblical reservation.
Now, the fifth thing is something that you don't really think about so often when you're having sex. The fifth thing is it highlights, I'm talking about sex for 7 days, it highlights the real F word. Forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32. It got quiet. Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
He mentioned Jesus twice. And he's talking about forgiveness. But again, this is said in the context of more and better sex will, in his words, highlight forgiveness. That one knows, appreciates, practices, receives forgiveness better by having more and better sex. And sadly, I'm amazed, but we somehow run out of time to do the rest of the sermon review. There's more, and it's pretty much the same. More advice on how to have sex and doing it more and doing it God's way. But a sermon that stood completely on its own, what we heard of it, completely on its own and made, well, more or less sense without Jesus dead on a cross. Jesus didn't even need to be mentioned, even though he was mentioned there honorably at the end. He didn't even need to be mentioned. And if a sermon can stand on its own without Jesus hanging dead on the cross for you and for me, it isn't a Christian sermon. Folks, if you appreciate our sermon reviews, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support. When we come back, hour two of Issues, etc. Now, I promise we will turn to subjects more biblically grounded, from a sermon review on the 7 days of sexperimentation to St. Michael and All Angels. Dr. Charles Geeshan will be our guest from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll talk about St. Michael, all angels, the angels of God, and some angels that aren't angels at all, but in fact, Jesus himself. That's coming up in the second hour of Issues, etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, September the 29th. Let's let our preaching be what Christ promised and commanded it ought to be. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. Or as St. Paul would have put it, we preach Christ and him crucified. Or, I am determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Let's let our preaching be truly Christ-centered, cross-focused, and stop wasting everybody's time. Hour two of Issues, etc. on this Wednesday afternoon in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.